I think that really hits home with me. You sound like you might just be a math nerd, and
I'm not a nerd.
Hey, role players, welcome back to In and Out of Character, a role players podcast. If you're new here, every week I bring on a new guest and we talk about role playing in whatever aspect we want. Sometimes we talk about LARPing, sometimes we talk about tabletops. Today I am talking to Ice. They are from the Lucky Dice podcast, and today we are going to go into topics about like how roleplaying is weird, the joy of simple characters, and I get to yell at the clouds again, because I love doing that. And I also get to geek out about Final Fantasy IX, so buckle up. One thing I want to do is, before we get into this, I want to start doing promo swaps with people. And the way that I'm going to start doing this is that if the person is coming onto my podcast and they're from another podcast, I'm going to just play their advertisement between the intro, which is now, and when we get started. That way you can kind of get a grasp of where they're coming from. And for the ones that aren't coming onto the podcast, but I'm still doing the swap with, I'm going to put theirs just smack dab in the middle. This time, I put two more at the end for a personally funny reason, so stick around to find out. If you would like to come on this podcast, you are more than welcome to. Players and creators alike are welcome here. I want to chat with everybody. You can reach to me on my Discord, which will be in the description and in the links. Just come on in, chat with me. I'll be happy to have you on, I promise. With that said, let's go ahead and get into it. Enjoy the episode, everybody.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you. And I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
I haven't got to the point where I can do videos yet. I'm working on it. I plan on getting there sometime in the near future, but right now I just stick into audio for the moment.
Yeah, we can definitely get into this when we start chatting, but V and I, we've been strategizing how to better commercialize and advertise our podcast, and we're unfortunately just seeing that like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, it's where like 90% of eyes are, and You unfortunately need to be part of those fucking platforms, and they are very visually based.
Actually, if it's okay with you to like kind of include that in the episode and stuff like that, and this is just gonna be the whole thing now. I am bad at those, dude. I am so bad at social media. I can't stand it anymore. When I was a kid, I used to be so obsessed with like MySpace, and then Facebook came around, and like I was in Gaia Online, and I would try my best to be as successful as I could on those. But then as I got older, I realized how kind of silly that was from a stance of me just being a person. And like now that I am trying to actually have something here, have a brand, have a goal and a passion that I'm striving towards, and I take that back to social media, man, I hate social media.
it's an ego thing. I think like as kids we all think we're the best gift to the world. The world is gonna love us when they finally see us, and everybody who doesn't like us is wrong. And as you get older, you're like, oh, I'm wrong about a lot of things, and there's a lot of people who don't like things that I like. So it's understandable that people don't want to interact with me on a many of subjects. And then you have to try to start like advertising your podcast, and you're like, I have to pretend like everybody loves what I do and is interested in it and wants to see it, and they should pay to see it too. Oh God, how do I do this?
It's wild. Like,
Okay, so I have a friend. Her name is Ray. She actually listened. She just became my friend recently, not too long ago. And I met her through an Elder Scrolls Online roleplay group that I'm a part of. She actually used to listen to my podcast before we even met. And like, I'm sitting here trying to figure out, like, why do people even want to listen to me? Why do people want to even talk about this topic in the first place? And here someone is like, oh, I really like this. This is nice. And I'm sitting here like, why? What did I do? What happened? How did you find this?
Why are you listening? Do you have other friends that are like you, please?
Please. And it feels so bad because, like, I of course want the podcast to be successful, but I also want it to be something people genuinely enjoy. And yeah. And unfortunately, I'm one of those people who has, I guess, a horrible imposter syndrome, I guess is what it's called, or something like that, where like I feel like no matter how successful the podcast is or will ever be in life, it is something that I do not deserve, if that makes any sense.
I have a strange version of imposter syndrome. I feel like I should have it, but I don't, and I feel really bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've kind of shoved my face into V's project, and I got lucky being on The White Vault and Dark Dice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that people have heard my voice and enjoyed my content. And no mm-hmm. part of me is like, I don't deserve this. I'm just like, yeah, this was fun. I'm glad all of these things happened. And then alone at night, I'm looking at the window, at the rain, and I'm like, I should feel more self-conscious, shouldn't I? I should not be this blasé about like stumbling into what would this be called, like Z-level internet fame. Like, you can Google my name and find me. I guess that's a status that I have, and I'm just like happy, and it's good.
Yeah, I've worked very hard on trying to like get out of that whole mentality of not mm-hmm. deserving any sort of success, because that has been one of like the big key factors of to why I stopped recording in the first place. Like, man, I don't deserve this. I'm fucking everything up. My goal is not good enough. It's not going to help enough people like I want it to, and so on. But I've been able to thankfully step back and realize, hey, that's really stupid. That's a really stupid thought. And I don't need to be having that thought. Of course I'm going to have them, but I'm at that point now where I'm like, okay, I can just ignore that and keep going on with my day.
It is like, unfortunately, it is just like any other mental health kind of thing. It is just an uphill battle forever. Like, you're Sisyphus pushing up the boulder. Like, mm-hmm. you're never gonna get it exactly on the top. You're gonna get up there and it's gonna roll down, and you're gonna have to get it back up there. It's mental health in a nutshell.
Oh yeah. Speaking of who we are and our identities, I did not ask how you would like me to address you. This is the second episode in a row that I've done this. Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Aethor. I am a voice actor from Iceland. I do TLD. I do actual plays and voice acting. I've mostly stepped away from voice acting at this point, but I enjoy it still. Still do it with friends and stuff like that. Yeah, you may address me as you assume.
Can I just call you Ice?
Yes, you may absolutely call me Ice, since my name is relatively hard to pronounce.
I don't have a difficult last name, but sometimes people call me Eland, and it's Island, and it drives me insane when people call me Eland. It's been a characteristic of mine since I was a child. I corrected my grammar teacher when I was a kid about it, and I got sent to detention for it. So, suck it, teacher.
So now your internet handle is Island, spelled
Island.
Yeah,
it's just Island. Now, every now and again, like, people will look at my last name and be like, oh, your last name is literally Island. And I'm like, yes, thank you. I appreciate you.
I would have pronounced it incorrectly if it wasn't spelled correct, like English pronunciation correctly. Of course, English is my second language. So as soon as I see things slightly odd, I'm starting to like guess how it's supposed to sound. It's pretty bad.
How did you get into role-playing, Ice?
Oh, I've been role-playing like genuinely since I was like a kid, probably mm-hmm. early teenagers. My older brother went and played like some random modern day TTRPG, and he kind of came home and was just like, this was super fun. And me being a kid looking up to my brother was like, well, what was it like? Tell me more. And we made our own little homebrew system that he like played with me for like 2 weeks. And I got obsessed with it and took it to every single friends group I had until I found one friend group that actually did want to do it. And we had no books, we had no nothing. We just had an Excel sheet with like squares, and we rolled 2d6, and 10 and 11 and a 12 were always successes. No, those were always failures, and like we just had our own little system. So I've been like RPGing like since I was a kid. Like, I think I just kind of jumped from friends group to friends group. We moved from this weird little home system to an Icelandic TTRPG, which is called Askur Yggdrasil, which is out of print, and you can kind of like scavenge some of the pages from time to day to day. And from there, I moved to 3.5, which is my favorite. And from there, I moved to 4, and then back to 3.5, like everybody else.
Yes.
No hate for 4th edition, but that's what happened to everybody. And then I moved to Reykjavik, the capital of Iceland, and there I made a new friends group, and they were all into 5th edition, so, well, I made a new friends group. One of my friends from my old friend group moved to Reykjavik, and he found a bunch of nerds, and they were all playing 5th edition, so I started playing 5th edition.
Oh, man. I also kind of... Well, my tabletop journey started in D&D as well. It was like 3.0, or it was like 2.0 something, and then 3.0 or something like that. And then I really got into it with... 3.5 like yourself, then went on to 4.0, and then immediately realized, man, I like 3.5 way better than 4.0.
I don't have all these expensive models. I don't have a map. Why does magic not work correctly? Why do the warriors have spells now? This is terrible. No, it was great for what it wanted to be, which was a model war game, but it was terrible for 3.5 edition people.
Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that, because I am a person who prefer story over mechanics mostly every day. Now, I love me a good crunchy system. I think I told Volanda this. Werewolf the Apocalypse is probably one of my favorite settings ever. And the whole dice, like you get a piece of dice for every pip you have of that thing, and just rolling a shit ton of dice. Oh, my favorite when it comes to tabletop is just rolling a crap ton of dice at once. But I still very much prefer a good story over mechanics any day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I think I'm a good mix, like a down the line kind of guy. I want to have a good story. I want to have fun character interactions. But God help me, I need a system to kind of... let me have fun. I love min-maxing. I love like seeing how far I can pull certain things. I love balancing characters. So unfortunately, I have a lot of that. But at the same time, I love role-playing. So like I'm a awkward mix.
I know, but it's so... I don't know. Okay, it really is hard, because I'm someone who also really likes to min-max their characters. And I don't know why. And, well, actually... I have a theory, and that's because I like math. I know, heathenistic, but I love math. I like being able to do math very fast. And when it comes to systems, I like being able to look at things and be like, okay, what is the percentage of this being better than this? And how is that going to help me with my play? So it's the same thing when it comes to like Magic the Gathering decks and shit like that. Like, I sit there and I do the math in my head as I do this thing, and people hate that sometimes because I'm min-maxing my character, and my character is punching everything to death in one hit.
It's V once heard something somewhere, and she quoted it back to me. A player trying to min-max his character, he does it because he loves his character and doesn't want to die. Like, you're trying to defend your character. And I think that really hits home with me. You sound like you might just be a math nerd, and
I'm not a nerd.
We're all nerds around here. We're talking about TTRPG on a podcast for the internet. but no, I lean way more on the, like, I don't enjoy maths very much. It's just kind of like, I kind of do it, and like, I don't hate it. But like, as soon as somebody shows me like a graph of like, if you roll 2d20, like what's the average odds of each number, and then you get a plus one or a negative one, and they make all these graphs, I'm like, I glaze over real hard. Then I'm just like, no. Like, how do I just do more damage? This is nerd shit. I want to do more damage.
Oh man. Yeah, you're right. I am a bit of a math nerd. I just enjoy efficient characters. And unfortunately, as a DM, that can really come back and bite me in the ass because I'll make a character, I'll make an enemy. Like I'll set up enemies and stuff like that. And like I'll try to take in into account the party's strength and weaknesses, and I'll try to actually make compelling scenarios and stuff like that. And because I love math so fucking much, I will make characters that can sometimes be really hard to overcome normally. And yeah. I know when I've gone too far, when the light of my player's eyes start to leave and they just all start to ascend into a different plane of existence. And I'm just like, you guys having fun?
Come on, guys. One of you totally has an inspiration left. You guys can turn this around. Come on, guys. Come on.
Come on. You guys can do it. Have you committed any of the unfortunate DM sins like that before?
So I don't DM so much, but I used to when I was a kid. And like pre-20s, I would say. Like early 20s at the latest. And I was a terrible fucking DM. I genuinely was. Like everybody is when they start, but I think I had a lot of bad habits that I kept from being a kid playing a non-system system all the way until like I had to learn how to DM. And I would I had my terrible like what do they call them? DM NPC or DMPC or something like that? Where you have your self insert basically. Like I did shit like that like way too late. Like if somebody got like a recording of me playing with my friends in my 20s, I wouldn't have the excuse of like, oh, I was a kid, guys. Like no, you were an adult, man. You had no excuse to be behaving like that. But luckily, like a lot of that has left my brain now. But I've never party wiped. I can at least gladly say that I've never party wiped. And I've often just like, the players are not doing enough damage. This enemy's health is now 30 HP lower just because I don't want to have to deal with this.
I do that a lot more often now. A lot more often. Man, like one of the earliest fuck-ups in DMing that I can remember is this time where I had a DM at one point. His name was Dell, right? And Dell did such a good job, and he kind of inspired me to start DMing myself. And I had this character, this villain, who was supposed to be unbeatable for like the first act. I did not know that this was a sin at the time. I thought this was good storytelling because like it happens in video games, it happens in movies. Yep. And I thought, you know, I could give that same experience to my players. And Dell himself, after like rolling like super high and like a lot of damage, he was the one who was like, he like pushed his character shit away and he crossed his arms and he's like, you just tell me when this fight is over at this point. And I was like, oh no, I fucked up. Oh, I fucked up so bad.
I know I did the exact same thing because I loved Final Fantasy IX, the enemy Beatrix.
I love fucking Final Fantasy IX.
She comes back like four times and every fight is like fucking like your heart is in your throat. They're so high stakes. Everything's on the line. Of course, I tried to like grab that from a video game I didn't understand and shove it into TTRPG. And then when my friends were upset that the enemy was just unbelievably overleveled, then I was like, why are you guys upset? It's a story moment, guys.
I'm desperately trying to equate Final Fantasy IX to role playing, so I can keep talking about Final Fantasy IX because that is my favorite fucking Final Fantasy game in existence, hands down. I know everyone's out there like Cloud, Sephiroth, Squall, but I'm just like Vivi, Freya.
He's the best.
Quinn. All right,
then I'm gonna ask. I have a question because I want to keep gathering data for my theory. Final Fantasy IX your first Final Fantasy?
No, my first Final Fantasy was Final Fantasy VI, I believe.
Did you play it all the way through? Did you own the cartridge?
I owned 6, 7, 8, and 9 because they were given to me by my brother. I got them right when Final Fantasy X started to kind of come out.
Yeah.
I had them. I did not finish Final Fantasy VI. I got close to finishing 7. Never really got halfway through 8, but 9 was the one Yeah, 9 was the one that I started, I finished, and I've replayed it. I actually still own it on PC. I have the game disc in storage somewhere right now. Once I get my own place with my son, I plan on proudly putting that front and center for everyone to look at when they walk in my house.
Yeah, so my theory is, like, everybody's favorite Final Fantasy is the one they finished first. You are a bit of an enigma, because it sounds like you had a library hand-me-down, and that may have fucked you on my system.
Oh, no, it's all right. So, yeah, Final Fantasy IX was probably the one that I finished first, for sure. Like, I finished, like, from front to end, nonstop. I loved everything about it. I loved the game. I loved the combat of it. I loved the story. And then I tried to play 7 again, and I was just like, it's just not the same, man.
It's missing a lot. I, though, have, like, had, like, I still love Final Fantasy IX, still my favorite Final Fantasy, still in my top 5 video games of all times. But I've had a big falling out with it, because I think the mechanics of 9 are broken as shit. Like, the oh god, I'm sorry, I'm getting into it, but just basically take Final Fantasy X, for instance, and see mm-hmm. how many fun things you can do with the like with the level up system and the equipment and all that stuff, and compare mm-hmm. it to 9, and just realize, like, 9 was not good enough, and the trans system sucks, and I don't care what anybody says. The idea is gorgeous, but the system implementation is terrible.
Mm-hmm. No, I can agree with that. Like, after playing other Final Fantasies and, like, growing up and, like, just looking at other systems and stuff like that, I can agree with that.
Do you want to steer us back to TTRPGs?
Well, actually, so what I was about to say was, is I would like to someday, like, I would love to have a podcast or like a playthrough of Final Fantasy IX using the new tabletop system coming out for Final Fantasy XIV, because they're doing their own little TTRPG. I would like to see that. I have no idea how the TTRPG is going to work, but I would love to see that. But that leads into the whole, you know, everybody loves what they love and they want to keep telling stories inside that world. I don't even know how that fucking story would work.
No, it's actually funny to see how many people bring up TTRPGs nowadays when they're like, please make a system that we can play this in. Like, I know that there are a bunch of people that have, like, handcrafted TTRPGs for games like Metro and Stalker. Mm-hmm. I know there was some talk, there was a game that came out recently called Look Outside. I got a little bit obsessed with it and joined their Discord. And there was a bunch of people in the Discord like, we need to make a TTRPG in this world. And it's like, it's become like almost a meme to see that, like, if any game gets a big traction, people are like, we need a system for this. We need to be able to create our own stories.
Mm-hmm. So actually, there is one incident about this. I've talked about this on the podcast before with one of my guests, but there was a system for, do you know what Warframe is?
I don't play it, but I know what it is.
I'm a big Warframe fan. I love Warframe. I've been playing it since the beginning, and I've been wanting to have, like, a Warframe TTRPG system for the longest, right? And mm-hmm. I found out at one point somebody was making a TTRPG love letter to the game called Frame. Now that person is Gila RPGs. They've gone on to make, like, a whole bunch of other stuff. But they had so much backlash on Frame, they just took it down. And it was so weird, because it's like, a lot of people in most fandoms, when they love something so much and they want a TTRPG about it, they normally stick behind it. But it was like the exact opposite of for Warframe, where the player base actually had, like, a backlash against it. And it was like, why? This was such a cool idea. Like, we could be having Warframe actual play podcasts out there right now. But instead, we have, like, just now, during this recent TennoCon, which is their yearly convention, they are doing something TTRPG related, and it's in collaboration with Starfinder.
What's Starfinder? I'm out of there.
Pathfinder, Peizo's sci-fi Pathfinder.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I just didn't know that Starfinder was the owner of, they're connected to Pathfinder.
It just makes me sad, because I'm like, we could have had something great, you guys. What happened?
It's fandoms, man. It's fandoms. They can be the funnest thing to be a part of, but then they can just, like, it's the mob. It's just like the mob decides something and you're left behind. Like, did nobody think this through? And the mob just keeps going. And it's just part of being on the internet nowadays. You just you have to accept the fact that some fan bases, even though they are fun, are toxic as shit or stupid as fuck or just filled with like weirdos. It's just, no, that's terrible though, that like they attack the guy. That is like, I've never heard of that before.
It's so crazy, right? But anyways, I'm about to start ranting about it. So you did a lot of, you do a lot of tabletop role playing. Do you do any other sort of role playing?
And can you give me an example? do you mean like more than actual play, or what do you mean?
Well, there's like MMO role playing, there's forum role playing, there's LARPing, there's all sorts of different types of role playing.
So like, I don't know how to say this in a non-judgmental way. Mm-hmm. I have always found role playing to be very weird and very cringy. Cannot do it 99% of the time, but for some unknown reason, TTRPG broke through my mind on this. I've been part of forums for like way back in the day before I even spelled English correctly, and I found people that talked in character and were like in their little like role-playing like section of the forums. I always found that very weird. And when I was playing EverQuest 2, which was my MMO of choice, when I saw people like running around talking in character, I was like, no, what are you talking about? I just need a, like, can you just give me the speed up spell? Can you just give me like Spirit of the Moon or Spirit of the Wolf or whatever the fuck thing? I was like, what do you mean, hail adventurer? Could we like travel together for but a spell? It's just like, no, bro. Okay, what is your equipment? So it never broke through me. And it wasn't until I got super heavy into roleplay RPG with TLD that I realized like how weird this like facet of my life was. Because to me, TTRPGs were just like board games. Like you sat down and you played Monopoly with your friends. But from time to time, you just pretend to be the Monopoly guy. It was just like a little sprinkle of cringe on top of it. Just not enough. But once I joined TLD and I got like super heavy into like making a deep story character with lots of twists and turns and things to overcome and failures and weaknesses, that's when I realized like, oh, fuck, I'm the forum guys. Oh, fuck. I am Hail Adventurers. Oh, fuck.
I'm Adventurous John now.
Yes, I am terrible. I am cringe. And but I love it. It's too fun, but like I can't break through that like in other aspects of my life, at least not so far. I have a feeling that V, who used to she didn't LARP, but she used to dress up and do fun things. I have a feeling that she may one day break me through this, but I'll probably just role play, or like I'll probably just play an old white man. Like I'm not gonna go elf, I'm not gonna go dwarf, I'm just gonna be happy and like I'm me, but from the past.
No, I get you. In terms of like it being cringy and stuff like that, I can definitely understand where you're coming from, especially like in an MMO standpoint. Luckily, most MMO role players tend to realize that, hey, not everyone here is for that experience, and they'll wait until like a hub of some kind pops up. It happens in a lot of the big MMOs, like Final Fantasy IX has Quicksands, Elder Scrolls Online moves around a lot, World of Warcraft has, you know, Stormwind and Orgrimmar, yada yada, and people will go there and roleplay with other roleplayers, and we've created tools, thankfully, that help us identify other roleplayers and so on and so forth. However, I feel the same way about LARPing, and I am trying very hard to get out of that mindset because I want to do LARP. I think LARP would be a lot of fun. My last guest, she gave me permission to share a little video. She has a video of her being driven around, and her and like three other people are all hanging on top of this car doing this post-apocalyptic LARP. And it looks so much fun, and I think more people should do that. Also, please be safe while you're out there doing this. Don't fall off the car.
Yes. Wasn't there like a huge part of the movie from the 2000s? I think it's called Role Models, where there's like a huge part of it that's a LARP. And it's one of those like, I loved that movie. I thought it was super cringy, but the way that they portrayed LARP as like this cringy thing, but it's super fun and it's hard to like not enjoy, but it's super cringy, guys. But like, this is really fun. Like, I love that depiction of it. Role Models 2008 comedy drama has the McLovin guy in it. Yep, found it.
There was a episode of Hawkeye that had like a large LARP group. Like he actually had to go get his suit back from a LARPer, and he has to go off and do this stuff. And when I saw this fight, I was like, hold on, that's not any sort of LARP I've seen. Have I just been not going to the right LARPs? Is that what's been happening here?
I read like a huge post once a long time ago. Some dude, he joined a week long LARP, completely green with no friends. He was invited by like a dude he met, and they had little badges that noted like there's like levels, so like you could hit people less times. You had more strength badges. It was like, I don't know if this was a true story, but it sounded fucking awesome.
That does sound awesome. Like, I think that people, again, coming from the whole, like, role-playing is awesome, but it's also kind of cringy and weird. Like, that's not meant to be an insult to anybody out there listening or like that. Like,
no.
What we do is weird. Like, there's no getting around that. It is kind of weird, but it's okay to embrace and be a little weird from time to time, all right?
Yeah, I'll say this. It is no weirder to sit at the table and cry when your character dies, who you've invested a lot of effort in and like emotions. You've created their backstory. You've seen them through their highs and their lows. There's nothing wrong with like at the end of the night, you have like a little bit of a sad feeling. You might even cry. There's nothing that is no more weirder than when a football team loses at the World Cup and you cry. Like, there's no weirdness level difference there. This is both weird. You're just enjoying something so much that you've become super invested in it. You are not weird if you have high emotions and enjoy weird shit. It's just a part of it.
Right. So let me ask you another question, kind of on the same topic. Why do you think, this actually might be a bit of a loaded question, I'm sorry. Why do you think people roleplay?
I'm not going to speak on other people's behalf. Why other people roleplay is why they roleplay. I've seen many people use it as ways to like try out fun, different, silly things. They want to be more charismatic, so they play a charismatic character. So I can imagine that's a part of it, but I'm not going to say that's what they do. I roleplay because it is incredibly fun to put myself into the shoes of somebody I am not and get to act out full-fledged lives using these ideals.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I enjoy about RPG. I like creating a character that there are certain parts of my personality I cannot break. I noticed that recently. I cannot make a character that doesn't want to plan and plot. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I seem to be able to roughly break a lot of my beliefs. For instance, I am an atheist. I have made atheist characters, heavily religious characters, and agnostic characters that lean like religious. And I love playing these characters that have different beliefs from me and get to like fully emote them. It's so fun to get to do that. I've had characters that deal with substance abuse, which I've luckily never dealt with in any other form than food. So lucky me. And it was really fun to get to play a character that kept tripping again and again over the exact same fucking stumbling block. It's the same thing every fucking time. Yet they just, it's about breaking the mold. It's about trying to get better. And it's about having support networks, friends, and people that want to pick you up and help you get out of these situations. And that's the fun that I like in, that's why I like role-playing. It's because I get to create aspects of myself that don't really exist and put them into a character and get to play it out. It's a lot more fun to have these aspects of your character clash with the DM and the other players than it is to sit in the shower and think about like, oh, what if I was heavily religious? Like, that's not interesting. Like, I know how that story ends. It ends with me becoming a priest. It's boring, but it's way more interesting if like, hey, my character, he almost died and the sun god gave him the power to heal his friend, and his friends then got help that managed to save both of them, and my character now lives in honor of the sun god. What does that look like? That is so fun. That's so much more fun.
I completely agree, because I like being not me at times. This used to come from a sense of like self-hatred, but now it comes from a sense of self-discovery. I love being other characters. I love being able to look at other people in real life and say, I can kind of understand where these people are coming from now, because I have characters that have been put in their shoes and I've actually gone through the motions and I've learned and stuff like that. That's the reason I love role-playing so much. There's so many different reasons why people can enjoy this hobby. And yet again, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, it's seen as weird, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of people like to judge you for this shit, and it's fuck them all. It's fun. I get to play in my home game that I'm playing with my friends right now. I'm playing a dumbest rock Minotaur who's just strong as fuck. That's his entire thing. But he used to not have a consciousness, and he was granted his consciousness by his warlock patron. So he
that's
has this,
so
like,
fun.
That he has this like really like. I will dedicate my whole life to this patron because, like, I do not want to go back to the darkness. I don't want to go back to not making coherent thoughts. So he's learning how to, like, make coherent thoughts. He's learning all these things. And at the same time, he's so fucking scared of his god. Because, of course, the DM made the god evil. Fucker. So we've now been, like, last, like, 10 sessions, we've been working on trying to get him a new patron. And we don't know how that works. And we're not sure what's happening anymore. And it's really fun to just play, like, a dumb character who, like, worships his god to the end of the earth. But at the same time, right now, he is scared to shit of his god. What was it called? God-fearing. Like, he's God-fearing. It's really fun to get to play that. It's like, I'm not, like, a strong dude. I am not, like, somebody who, like, dedicates his life to a purpose or point or a people. It's just like, it's super fun to play this character. He's so weird, and it's also very easy to play dumb characters because you just take everything out of context or don't understand subtlety, and it's super easy, and it's just fun.
Yeah, there is something very liberating about playing a character that isn't incredibly intelligent or skillful with tacticians or whatever like that. There can be a lot of fun in just having a character that sits down and goes, "I'm here, and this is the reason why, and that is it."
Yeah, like what was it that we were doing? Like one of our missions randomly was to save a dog that had gone missing in the sewers, very early story. And when we got out of the sewers, they were like, okay, now we have to give the dog back to the owner. And I was just like, owner? Who owns him? Like, and I just started challenging the idea of owning pets. And it was just, it was fun and stupid. It was just like, yeah, there you go. My character doesn't understand the idea of, like, husbandry or, like, animal companions. He's just like, no, that's a dog. He has his own will. He may not be able to explain it like I didn't used to be able to, but I'm sure that he wants to be his own master. Leave him alone. It's like...
Do you ever worry that having, like, a character like that will derail the story at all?
No, because as much as I enjoy being a thorn in other players' side and other and the DM side, I respect them too much to, like, ruin a story. Now, I may have derailed back in early TLD pretty hard, and I threw some big spanners in the work as I was feeling out what it was like to play with people I'd never met before. But at the end of it, I try to, it's not fun to say out loud, but I think what is best for the story, what is best for the players, and I try to go down that route. So me challenging the idea of, like, hey, this man should not be allowed to own a dog. This dog is its own person. I was never going to attack my friends and steal the dog, and now I don't have a character anymore because my character ran off with the dog. I don't do that. Like, that's an insane proposition in my mind. And in the same way, like, if I make a character that just hardcore clashes with another character, I will do my best to play the best unwilling participant kind of thing. Like, yeah, I'm being dragged along. Oh, I don't want to help you guys. Oh, but okay, whatever. Like, I'll be a little snide to the one character I don't like, but I'll be good with the rest of the team, and I will never intentionally ruin a combat. I will always do my best to make sure everybody survives and lives. So I make challenging characters. I make characters that are difficult to play with often and, like, force my friends to yell at me from time to time. But at the end of the session, I think I have never derailed beyond, like, fun conversations in game and then going, well, I think you're wrong. And then we keep going.
A lot of players, sometimes when they make jokey characters, they don't think of it as a respect for the other characters, other players, and the DM at the table. They just kind of make these characters, and the whole point of those characters is to be as, you know, badass as possible, or to do whatever they want without any regard to the other things. And it's so, like, It's hard because, of course, you want to roleplay characters like that. But at the same time, you have to remember that you are still a part of a group. It's one of the things that I preach so much, and even MMO roleplaying and stuff like that, is that roleplaying is a community event. And if you are not willing to participate in said community or be a part of said group, then it's just not going to last, or it's not going to go very well for you.
Yeah, 100%. There's an English word that I think is trite. It's a trite thing to bring up, but like not everybody can play Drizzle, the dark elf loner brooder who broke the mold and is now the coolest, most epic character in the world. You can't all play the loner brooder. Then there's nobody to play. Like you don't have a driving force to push your story. You have to make characters that want to engage with each other. And if one player wants to play the loner brooder, like, okay. You have your, stereotypical loner brooder character, but the rest of the team has to have fun and want to do jobs. Otherwise, you're just playing D&D 1.0, where you're just going into a dungeon to kill monsters, to get gold, to buy weapons, to go into the dungeon to kill monsters. Like, you have to have a reason to play. You have to have a reason to play. And, I swear it lives rent free in my head. I played fourth edition when tieflings were introduced. Two of my friends decided to play tiefling, and one of them hated tieflings, and he tried to kill the other one in the first fucking session, and we never played again. And it was such a like moment. I was like, ah, okay. As a DM, I now understand why players need to be fucking. Sorry, I'm cursing a lot. I should
no, you're keep good. It a you're good. This is an explicit podcast. You're okay to curse. I promise.
There's a little E next to it on iTunes or
oh yes, Spotify. Everywhere. As everywhere I can put it, there's a little E.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like in that moment, I like this is like in my like early 20s, I think. I had that experience and I realized like, ah, okay. You cannot make a character that is so turmoil, like so volatile that he can't play with other players. Like, and if you're going to do that, you have to talk to the other fucking players. Like, you have to say, I'm bringing a tiefling that hates tieflings and he's like on a like genocide mission of killing all tieflings. Then the other players can be like, oh, I was going to play a tiefling. How are we going to make this work? Like, you have to talk together. Like, that's what session zero is for. Well, actually, the DM should be paying more attention. I'll admit that was probably a failure on my behalf of not asking them what their characters were.
No, it's okay. Like, after a while of doing this, there's like sort of a expectation that you sort of develop. And sometimes that expectation can be ruined by whatever means. Again, a player deciding to bring a genocidal maniac to a good aligned story or something like that, right? While that could work, it's just like, you know, probably should have a talk about that first. It happens in MMOs, MMO role playing all the damn time, because in tabletop you have people in your face, right? You have the whole party there. You mostly know them, but you're face to face and talking with them. In tabletops, I mean, you can easily get a group of like 10 people for one event and you don't talk very much out of character, so things can go haywire pretty quick. I brought this up for a reason, but I fucking forgot why I brought it up.
I sympathize the ADHD mind, the just being forgetful mind.
I could rant about ADHD. I don't know if you've listened to my other episodes. I could rant about ADHD if you let me. But not to get on the topic of ADHD. Is there a preferred system you enjoy?
No. I've been playing Call of Cthulhu with V, Neo, and Kesir, and we've been recording it and releasing it, and it's called The Sprouting. And I've always enjoyed Call of Cthulhu because I like the sanity mechanic and I like the idea of characters that slowly get better over a very long amount of time, but they can be snuffed out like that and there's no way to bring them back unless you have, like, you got lucky with a mage with the resurrection spell. And even then, the resurrection spells are usually one to use. Like, there's no bringing you back again. I enjoy that system a whole lot, and I've been playing it with V and a couple of our friends, and I just like it. It doesn't matter. I don't need it. I don't have a preferred system because the fun is to sit with your friends and play. Like, if they want to play modern realistic game, I'm game. If they want to play D&D, like fantasy medieval game, I'm game. If they want to play a sci-fi future game, I'm game. I'll bring a character that I think is interesting or fun, and I'll understand the basic gist of how a character works and roles and like classes work. I'll throw together something, and then I'll start min-maxing as I like get into two or three fights and understand how the game works. And yeah, like I don't have a preferred system. I just enjoy playing. Like that's the like role playing is the main thing. If you put me in a 5-hour fight, my eyes will gloss over at some point. But you put me in a 5-hour like debate of whether we should what was it that we were arguing about? We were playing Out of the Abyss or Out of the something, and it's a story that happens in the Earth Dark in D&D. And we had a chance of destroying Manzo Brassian, the city of the Dark Elves, which is basically just like a slave city. And we spent 5 hours arguing whether that was an okay thing to do or not. And it was just genuinely so fucking fun to have my friends who usually would obviously take one side, having their character force them to take a different side and poking at them. And it's so fun.
Oh, that's one of my favorite parts about role playing is like having a character that doesn't have maybe the exact same ideals as you, and you exploring that through the characters. I really enjoy that. Haven't done anything too evil yet, I'm happy to say.
it's a thing that I've always thought. It's the we live in a first world country, and we are blessed with the ability to worry about morals and stuff like that. But when you're playing a game like what I was talking about earlier, the Call of Cthulhu game we're playing, it's a post-apocalyptic game where like plants have become alive and they're trying to kill people, and humanity is barely hanging on by a thread. And in that game, you do not have the space for morality. Like, you see a bandit with a gun and he's like sneaking up on your friend. You don't have time to say, hey, you drop the gun. You just shoot him. You cannot afford your friend dying. Like, it's such a liberating and fun thing to do. And it's a fun thing to challenge when you have a character that's just, like, morally bankrupt. Like, all that matters is his survival and his friend's survival, and get to play that character. And I would argue that's not evil, but, like, hey, we're not in the post-apocalypse, so I don't have to stand by that.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, settings and stuff like that, the idea of a post-apocalyptic world ran over by plants is a really cool and fun idea. I wish I was explored more, to be honest with you. I really love this is gonna sound really weird possibly to everyone listening. I like the chaos of nature, if that makes any sense. So I really like stories that involve nature being the overall antagonist, right? Like, it's the force of nature behind the setting, and other stuff is happening there. I don't know how else to describe that. Does that make any sense? I really like what I'm trying to say is I really like the Sprouting, and I like what you guys are doing.
Definitely keep up with Sprouting. V throws at us. So V basically homebrews 99% of the monsters and creatures and scenarios and ideas that she throws at us. And I think we recently in the released episodes, we were QCing them. It's like 2 or 3 months out now. A creature that we made up is going to appear. And I genuinely to this day, I'm like, what is this thing? Like, how did you come up with this thing? And it's part of the whole thing, and it's the part of the whole packets. And it makes it so that we can have a lot of fun with a lot of different creatures. And yeah, I think the plant apocalypse is a shockingly good setting. It's really fun.
One of my personal favorite settings is, we see it all the time, where it's like there used to be an ancient technological precursor race setting. I like that stuff, but mixing with the plants and stuff like that, I would love to see that more often. Please make that happen more often, everybody.
I think that's the fun thing with the Sprouting. Technically, the human civilization that fell should have technology around 2100. So, like, way better magical technology, way better weapons technology, and way better data gathering and distributing technology. But all of that is, like, under the ruins, and we have to dig up little pieces of magical equipment. It's so fun. It's we haven't gotten there yet. We get access to some technology later in the story, which is just, I love it. I love it so fucking much. It's so fun. I'm a huge fan of the precursor stereotype, cliche, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You have it in Mass Effect, you have the, I don't remember what they're called anymore, and you have it in my favorite Breath of favorite video game of all time, Breath of Fire 3, where there used to be a super technologically advanced race, and they're just gone, and their machines and the things they made just wash up on the shore. That's all we know about them. That's just that's what they do. Their shit just comes washing up on the shore, and everybody lives by ripping out pieces and trying to make them work. It's such a dumb setting, but I love it.
God, I want to keep talking. We are quickly and rapidly approaching the hour mark for the podcast, which means unfortunately we're going to have to start closing this. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Same. It's been really fun to talk to you.
I always do this like at the end of every episode because like I enjoy talking about this hobby so fucking much. I want to keep going, but editing takes up too much time.
Yes. Hire an editor.
Hopefully.
Let them eat cake.
Hopefully someday I can, because if I could do that, I could talk to a lot more people and release like a lot more episodes. Like at max, I can only release like 3 episodes a week. And that sucks because there's just so many people to talk to. And I want to just talk and like invest and just communicate about like all the different aspects of role playing. Because again, like we were talking about earlier in the episode, it's a weird and strange, but really fun hobby.
It is.
I'd like to normally ask at the end of every episode if there is any advice for role players out there that you have in general.
I kind of touched on my biggest pet peeve, which was the tiefling story. It is respect the other players. Like, you of course, like, it goes without saying, you respect the DM. Like, the DM is the parent of the group. Usually the DM is the one that has to organize it, pick the dates. Is the one that usually picks where it's going to be or bring snacks and whatever. Like, the DM is the parent of the group, and everybody has kind of forced to respect them in the same way you would be forced to respect a deity that exists in our own world. Like, you can't fuck with the deity, you can't fuck with the DM. But respect the other players, I think, is another big one. It's if another player is disagreeing with your character but not you, enjoy the argument in character, but like leave it at the table. And if you're getting upsetty, of course just talk to them afterwards. Like most of the people at the table, sorry, I have the privilege of basically always playing with my friends. I almost never do conventions or like random people online. So this of course comes from that. I just say, talk to your friend, dude. Just your friend upset you. His character did something that angered you. Go talk to them. They may have a different opinion, they may have a different point of view of what was going on, or they may have the cliche old answer of, well, it's what my character would have done. And then you can explain to them, okay, well, what your character did was really boring, stupid, and annoying. Can you not do it again? You can talk to your friends. And like, my advice to all people is respect the other players. Like, respect their characters, respect their character's journey, respect their character's wants and wishes, and try to help them get there, even if your character doesn't want them to. Like, if you have a player character who wants to, like, aspire to become immortal, even if your character hates immortal people, it has, like, some kind of a beep or gripe with the idea of subverting death, you as the player should still be like, hey, James, like, like we're about to talk to a dragon, you should ask him about liches. Like, we fought a lich, like we read a book about a lich, so we know what liches are. You should ask the dragon. Like, your character may get upset enough, huffy, and leave the conversation if he does that, but you as the player should want to help your friends have an interesting and exciting journey. So that's mine.
That's perfect, honestly. Not enough people actually sit down and like think about the other players. Well, maybe I shouldn't say not enough, but there are a good chunk of players who just do not care about the other players. And that can kind of suck for everybody because, you know, again, it's cooperative storytelling. And if you and your friends aren't having fun together, then what is the point of doing it, you know?
Yeah, like it's way more fun when you pay attention to what your friends are doing and try to help them. It's so much more fun. And this one is really difficult to actually do because everybody at the table needs to be in on it. If a player character is having a difficult time, if the character is having a difficult time and the player is trying to emote it or trying to take a moment seriously, they're upset or something, do your absolute best not to break the facade. Don't crack a joke. Try to stay in character. It was very, very sad. We had a home game where one of the players was he was an ex-pirate. His father was like a pirate king, and his whole life had been lived in the shadow of him. And because they were both dragonborn and he shared his exact same scales, he could not walk the streets of any of the coastal cities without being attacked, without being accused of being him. So we actually had a reason to go south. We met the pirate king, and he was exactly in a state of upset. One of his greatest champions had just like got up, killed a bunch of his dudes, and walked away. So he was in a like weakened state. So we went in and we killed the pirate king as a redemption thing for our player character. And when we killed him, I kind of sat back and I was like, okay, his character's about to have like a moment here. We've gotten rid of all the things. The DM even made sure to say, like, when the Pirate King falls, like, his like minions just start scurrying away. They're running. And I sit back and I'm like, okay, his character's not going to have a moment. He's going to maybe proclaim that he's no longer like tied to him or whatever. But two of my friends who don't usually take role-playing seriously, they started cracking jokes. I loot him. What was his sword like? Like, they start saying silly little weirds like this, and he never got to have his moment. And it made me very sad, and I hope to God players listen to you, like, respect other players. They might want to try to... It's so awkward. It's so awkward to be sad with your friends when your dragonborn character's dad is dead. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Let them try. Let them try. So,
oh, it does suck. I get it. So, I get it too much.
Yeah, so that's my thing. Like, I'm very sad. I never managed to actually give him that moment. Like, it's yeah.
Well, that's some good advice. Thank you again for that. I appreciate you.
No problem.
And thank you again for coming on the podcast. This was genuinely a delight.
Thank you for having me. And if you enjoy the sound of my voice, you should definitely go check out the Lucky Die Actual Play Podcast. The Sprouting, an actual play podcast. Counterbalance, which is a voice-acted, fully scripted fantasy audio drama, which I voice-act in. You should check out The White Vault, which is a horror voice-acting, horrors audio drama that I was part of about 10 years ago now. And yeah, go check out all the shit I've been in, because I need more people to listen to my shit.
And here comes all the ads right now. Bah!
Forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.
Wait, there's more! There's another one on the horizon!
Ah, the web tore. Those that both created and were created by the threads disentangle from the fringes to feast on the very thing that spawned them.
What's up, Siri? This is how you deal with weird!
No! Do not harm my children!
Oh, you lost a feather. Can I keep it?
No, you can't force me to.
Do you know what lies within nothing?
Rocket is in trouble, Akasa. Can we turn on the windshield remotely?
No, she could lose her job as an Akasar.
I don't fear Veha.
No, but you fear me. If you intend to trick me, I will not hesitate to sever the oath bond entirely.
Why didn't you help me?
Coward! I don't have a parachute! I don't like free falling!
Counterbalance, a high fantasy audio drama, season 2, coming 15th of October 2023. Learn more on Trilunas.com.